Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to the Front Three podcast. So, it's not going well at Arsenal at the minute, is it? Mikel Arteta has been in the job a shade under a year, and although he's won the FA Cup, the Gunners currently find themselves in the bottom half of the table. You've probably seen some of the rants and the shouting and all of that madness, but we decided to dial up Ali Tweedale of The Coach's Voice to try and find a little bit more about what's going wrong at the Emirates this season. Ali, thanks so much for joining us. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me, Chris.
It's an absolute pleasure. We couldn't think of anyone better than someone attached with Coach's Voice to come on and explain this situation with a bit of patience and a bit of forethought. So we wanted to lean into you, if that's okay.
Well, I'll do my best. I don't know how great I'll be, but I'll give it my all. 110%. That's all I can offer.
Well, that's kind of how it's felt with Arsenal at the minute, is that everything's either 0% or 110%. It's been quite a polarising debate, I think we can all agree. For you personally, how would you characterise just the tactical evolution during Mikel Arteta's first year in charge?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you use the word polarising, because I don't know if it is polarising as much as just mixed. There's been, obviously, with the FA Cup success earlier this year, It's hard to imagine that you could have a team win the FA Cup having been in a bit of a mess when he took over, and now be in a position where people are kind of questioning the manager. But of course they are in completely dire straits right now. So it is just completely mixed. I think everyone would agree that Arteta did a good job in winning the FA Cup and now he's doing a not so good job. So it is. I think it's, like I say, it's just kind of a mixed year, really. When he first came in, I just think there was an unrealistic expectation that he was just going to be Pep Guardiola Mark II and have Arsenal playing that way. And I think that didn't really help him very much at the start. Mm-hmm. I think he's gone from being that kind of like held up on a pedestal to suddenly just being a bit of a mess, and it's gone from very good to very bad far too quickly, really.
I'm glad you touched on the Pep Guardiola comparisons, because I saw something similar when Domi Tarrant came here to New York, that a Pep assistant must be a reincarnation of him, or at least along the same line of thought. Before we started recording, I went through and tried to count the different formations that Arteta has used, and I got up to 8. With that in mind, do you feel as if watching this team, you're still seeing a manager in the sort of discovery phase or the research phase of how he wants this team to look and play?
I think so. I think when they went on that FA Cup run, there was kind of like an acceptance that this team wasn't good enough to take on the big teams at their own game. And that worked brilliantly, and Arsenal actually looked really good at that time. They set up defensively well, and they broke on the counter, and that kind of suited the players that Arteta had at his disposal. I wonder if that success might have come a bit too soon for him. I mean, obviously he's not going to regret winning the FA Cup. No one involved with Arsenal is going to regret that. But I just mean maybe he came out of that and kind of saw in his players something that wasn't actually there. He saw that his players could do exactly what he asked of them. And so he's an idealist, clearly. Anyone who managed with Pep Guardiola is, they want football played in a very particular way. And I slightly wonder if Arteta then came away from that, saw that they played out his game plan perfectly, won the FA Cup, and then he went away and said, right, we've done that. Now I don't want to be a Jose Mourinho. I don't want to let the other team have the ball. I want to go out there and play aggressively, play ambitiously, and dominate matches. The players he's got, I don't think, are capable of doing that, and it's kind of shown. And he's kind of like gone towards that and then taken a step back and gone in another direction, taken another step back. And it's kind of meant there's been so many different iterations of Arteta's Arsenal that they kind of feel quite aimless at the moment. And I think that's one of the biggest frustrations in modern football for fans, is when you look at your team and there isn't an obvious direction that they're going in. I know now there has been more recently this kind of like this focus on crossing, which I'm sure we'll move on to at some point. But it does, for a long time, it felt like, well, particularly after the FA Cup win, it felt like they were going in one direction and were going to be highly effective on the counter and a defensively solid team. And they've just moved away from that. And it's not really quite clear what they are at the moment. As you say, there've been so many different formations, just flitting between a back four and a back three slash a back five without the ball. So yeah, they started off with a back four, and Mesut Ozil was still in the team back then, or Joe Willock was playing as the number 10. And I think back then he was quite keen on playing Gabriel Martinelli, who is a direct runner. He's fast. He likes to get in behind. And him and Aubameyang really gave the team lots of threat in behind, lots of runners. And if you have someone like Ozil ready to feed them, that was a kind of like quite a good way of playing. But Arteta clearly wasn't up for Ozil, and the signing of Willian has meant that, well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't have Ozil in the team, but it's two aging playmakers, and the kind of like aggressive, high intensity way that Arteta wants to play meant that there was no space for Ozil. So yeah, I mean, it's just a bit confused, really. I think now they're kind of playing in a mid block. He wanted them to start pressing, but realised that his defence wasn't ready to play the high line quite as aggressively as he wanted. So they've dropped into something that isn't quite here, isn't quite there. And it's just opened up gaps in midfield and has led to the centre-backs being exposed in a way that is kind of reminiscent of the Wenger years, when there was just so many complaints about Arsenal never having a defensive midfielder and the centre-backs just being exposed week on end, week after week after week. So it's kind of like, it's frustrating for Arsenal fans to see that it kind of, we've just gone full circle, really.
Yeah, that FA Cup is an interesting chapter to me, in so much as it was success, and I think, self-included, a lot of us felt as if it was the dawning of something. But as you were talking there, I couldn't help think of Wigan Athletic. They won the FA Cup, but we didn't think they were onto something brilliant. They got relegated the same season. So in that regard, when we talk about even someone like Edu, who talks very openly that he felt Mikel would deliver instant results and then potentially long-term results as well, is the FA Cup for you a little bit of a misnomer in this whole situation, in so much as it showed that one way they could play, but that wasn't necessarily what Arteta was intending to implement?
Yeah, I suppose so. But I don't think anything should be taken away from that FA Cup win. They were really good. They beat two of the best teams in the country after in the summer when the FA Cup came back. And they were really good at playing that way. It's been quite surprising, I think, that Arteta hasn't really been able to repeat that in any of the games against the big teams. Well, apart from Man United, which they did to an extent, but that was mainly just boring than a good sort of tactical masterclass. But and Man United didn't play well. But against the teams that have sort of like come at you and have been playing well this season, he just hasn't really, he hasn't been willing to go at those games in the same kind of way, which I find quite surprising. Obviously, as I've kind of mentioned already, Arteta wants football played, his team to play in a certain way. But you do kind of expect that young managers are going to have an element of kind of pragmatism to them as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned boring there, and that's something that I think has been levelled at this team this season. I counted 11 goals in 3 Europa League games, but just 10 in the Premier League. Granted, the standard of opposition is very different. But from your vantage point with Coach's Voice and a more tactical slant or view of the game, how would you diagnose their creativity issues? Because it feels like it's rested a lot on just too many crosses.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard not to look past that headline of Arsenal's crossing. It's been well documented. They've made more crosses than any other team in the Premier League this season. And there's really kind of like a negative feeling, negative kind of stigma almost around crossing, which David Moyes and that 81 crosses against Fulham 5 or 6 years ago, whatever it was, he's kind of given crossing a bad name almost. And that was awful. That David Moyes Man United team were really bad and they just looked inept. And Arsenal then just putting in loads of crosses and not really creating anything does look bad. And then when the manager comes out and says, it's pure maths, if we keep putting in crosses, we're going to score more goals. Again, that doesn't look good because that's not how football works. You can't just say if we get in the right positions more, if we get the ball in the box more, we're going to score more goals. It doesn't work like that. Crossing just needs to be part of a wider game plan, doesn't it? And it's looked like for Arsenal, it's been the only game plan. Because City and Liverpool were the top two teams last season for crosses attempted. So you can see what the link is there. Obviously, Arteta's seen that if you get crosses in, it can lead to success. But there have been too many crosses where Arsenal have got into advanced positions and just put the ball in the box. And there needs to be more clever movement. They don't really have a Trent Alexander-Arnold or a Kevin De Bruyne or an Andy Robertson who can put balls in of the same kind of quality. And the other thing is that you've got players in the middle who aren't really suited to sort of standing, jump, heading and flicking a header towards goal in Aubameyang and Lacazette. So it's really just meant that Arsenal just look completely inept. And it all adds up with Arteta's comments. It just all adds up to something that just doesn't really fill you with much confidence. I do think that there's something in the Liverpool comparison. And I do think that there is a part of Arteta who wants to kind of try and do what Liverpool do. And that may be linked to the fact that Ozil was left out of the squad. Liverpool don't play with a proper creator, a proper playmaker. And it doesn't really harm them. They find up plenty of other ways to score goals. Arteta has shown a bit of a desire to have his team press high up the pitch, try and win the ball higher up. But when you play like that, you need more rotations between the midfielders and attackers. And we've seen on the left, I like how they play on the left. I like it when Aubameyang pulls out to the left. I like it when he's playing off the left, because when they build from the left, Kieran Tierney comes out from left back. Saka moves infield, kind of like inside left, kind of into the half space. That's it, on the left side of the pitch, trying to get on the ball, and he's very good at receiving on the turn, Bukayo Saka. And then that allows Aubameyang to get into more central positions, and I quite like that. I think that kind of works. But the problem is, I think at the moment, is that if you have, we just don't see that on the right hand side, where Willian and Bellerin, just don't really provide that same kind of forward thrust, that same attacking threat, and this or the same rotations, and also Bellerin's delivery into the box isn't anywhere near as good as Kieran Tierney's. So I kind of like how they build on the left, and I really like Bukayo Saka, but at the moment that means that he's the only player that's getting into positions between the lines. And if you're relying entirely on crosses or a 19-year-old to break opposition teams down, and the quality of teams they're coming up against is too high for them to find a way through. And Bukayo Saka, any young player, will go through bad moments, bad kind of like runs of form. And I just think he's having one of those times at the moment. And opponents are seeing that they can cut off supply lines into him when he moves infield, and get the defence really tightly compact inside the box and clear the crosses. And it just leads to, basically creating absolutely nothing. I should say, at the same time, there were some positives in the Burnley game, Arsenal's last game. I know they lost, but I genuinely think you can place the entirety of the blame for that defeat on Granit Xhaka, because Arsenal did get into some positions where crosses weren't aimless punts into the box. They were balls in behind the fullback that someone was running onto and cutting back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
And there was clever movement towards the last line of defence, and then pulling away into the kind of penalty spot area, the second 6-yard box, to try and get a shot away, and poor finishing let them down. So I do think that there are some signs of improvement, but the volume of crosses is not the answer. And I think Arteta probably knows that. I think he's too intelligent to just think that if they manage to break David Moyes' record, 81 crosses, in a game, they'd win it. I don't think he just thinks that, but it doesn't look good when the manager's saying something like that, for sure. And that's coupled with so many performances where they just create so little.
I mean, you mentioned that Bukayo Saka is going through a difficult moment. I think Granit Xhaka has had a number of those difficult moments, the latest of which saw him sent off at the weekend for grabbing an opponent around the throat. And I think even if you look last year, he had a similar disagreement with supporters where it seemed as if that was the moment that would push him over the edge and end his Arsenal career. As much as we can talk about the positives of what the game against Burnley represented, the negatives, the improvements, are we avoiding an obvious issue here that realistically Arsenal need to spend? They need to go out and make more signings in the mould of Thomas Partey, not stylistically, but perhaps in terms of ambition and cost?
I think it's a bit too simplistic to just say that that's what's needed. I mean, I always just think of what Frank Lampard did at Chelsea with the transfer ban. I know he's since spent a lot of money, but it's a manager's job to get the most out of players. And these players have done more than they are doing at the moment. They are capable of more. I don't think that, I mean, maybe signings would help, but I don't think that Arsenal are in a position to keep on, to go and buy two £50 million players in January. And I definitely think that Mikel Arteta should be getting more from the players he's got. It's all a bit weird, the fact that he's not really shaking things up with the players he's got. There are just so many underperforming players in there. After the Xhaka red card, you really have to think this is the time where he needs to make a statement and make a statement that says to the other players in the squad, if you mess up like that, you're not just going to walk back into the team. You need to prove yourself. And it would send a really bad message, I think, if the other players didn't see that. Someone like Ainsley Maitland-Niles or Danny Ceballos, who's sort of waited patiently on the sidelines while Mohamed Elneny's been getting loads of games. I think it would send a bad message to not show that this is a meritocracy and players who play well and behave themselves get chances in this team. There are just too many of them. Xhaka, Willian, Lacazette. David Luiz was not playing brilliantly before that. I also think Hector Bellerin has been quite poor this season. But he just seems to be sticking with these players and hoping that they can eventually come good. Whereas I think most other managers wouldn't stand for it. And on Xhaka, I just think he's had too many chances. He's not worth the trouble. If it was me, I think I would just completely freeze him out, give Ainsley Maitland-Niles a run of games in midfield, see if he can do any better. Maybe Xhaka can come back in a few weeks, a few months' time, but he's just not worth the trouble, I don't think. I don't think he adds enough to the team to be worth all these many, many, many errors.
But I need to tell you a very interesting story about what his parents did with the house keys as a kid. I think that may convince you, other than your appraisal, that he's not responsible. Well, that was the big story that trailed him. I don't know if you remember when he arrived in England. The big anecdote, if you will, was that when he was kids, or when they were, him and his brother were kids, I should say, his parents gave him the house keys because he was the responsible one. And that was this great sort of microcosm for the man that was now arriving at Arsenal.
Right. Yeah. Well,
I'm convinced.
I'm capable of not losing my house keys, but I don't think I should be put in Arsenal's midfield. I don't know if I'm even capable of having the responsibility of doing a podcast. I'm not convinced. No, he's just had too many chances. There have been too many occasions that he's just let everyone else down, and it's just time to move on. I think most Arsenal fans would agree that he's had enough chances. There are a lot of players in the Arsenal squad who are either coming to the end of their contract this year or will then just have 1 year left on their contract. I can't remember if Xhaka is one of them, but there is going to be a turnover of players, and there might be some players in there that they end up losing for free, which is a real problem for Arsenal. And someone like Granit Xhaka, while he retains some value, I think is worth cashing in on.
And the players to fill that void, if you will, is it as simple as putting in Joe Willock, Emile Smith Rowe, the players that it would seem are part of a very promising young core at Arsenal? Is this the opportunity to blood those players for you?
It's tough because I mean, well, until recently, Arteta has tended to play with a two in midfield, and it would be a bit... I don't think Joe Willock is... The problem with Joe Willock, I think, is he's not quite a number 10 because he's not quite good enough, doesn't quite have the vision, doesn't quite have the kind of final ball. But I don't think you'd want him in a midfield two. Arteta's willing to play a three with kind of two shuffling eights like Liverpool play, I definitely think it's a chance to play Joe Willock. The fact that Mohamed Elneny's back in the team, he can do some more of the kind of like sitting or sweeping up behind the other midfielders. I think it is an opportunity, and it's also a bit of an open goal for Arteta now to do that, to make an example of Granit Xhaka. And if he doesn't, I just think it will reflect really badly on him.
Mm. And, you know, if we're talking about Joe Willock, I think we have to talk about the biggest player at Arsenal, at least in terms of financials, Mesut Ozil excluded. That's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who I read something that you guys wrote at Coach's Voice, a really thorough scout report of him, and you talked about his finishing quality, but also the fact that he's not very well suited to playing with his back to goal. We've discussed formations and tactics and everything today. It seems to me that you only see him on the left. Is that accurate? Does it have to then be a front three for Arteta going forward to accommodate Aubameyang?
No, I don't actually agree with the kind of there's a lot of people who say he's your best goal scorer playing through the middle, get him as near to goal as possible. That's just too simplistic. It's too reductive to say that. There are so many examples of wide forwards who are a team's best goal threat, best goal scorer. Liverpool, City, Raheem Sterling was City's top scorer not too long ago. Spurs, Heung-min Son, they're just all over the place. Cristiano Ronaldo in his heyday at Real Madrid. Even Lionel Messi had some time out on the right. I don't think that putting your best player, your best goal scorer out wide is an inherently bad thing. And I think that they just need to be slightly more clever about how they get Aubameyang into the positions where he's at his best. There were a few goals they scored early in the season. There were two, I don't know if you remember, almost identical goals that they scored. One was in the Charity Shield, Community Shield, sorry. Shows how old I am. The Community Shield, and then one against Fulham, where they played out from the back on the right, switched the ball out to the left. Aubameyang's in a bit of space. He cuts in onto his right and curls it into the far corner. And just getting him in those positions is going to be far more effective than getting him into the positions that he's been in more recently against Tottenham, for example, where he's standing still and Kieran Tierney puts a decent cross onto his head and Aubameyang jumps and heads it towards goal and Hugo Lloris just leaves it calmly to go over the bar. He's just not that kind of player. I don't agree with the idea that just getting him central, getting him as close to goal as possible is the right thing. I think he needs to play on the left, but he just needs to have a bit more freedom than maybe Arteta was giving him when they was asking him to drop back and play kind of like, it was when they were playing 3-4-3 and Aubameyang was on the left. And then out of possession, that became a 5-4-1 with Aubameyang as part of that midfield four and Lacazette up front on his own. And it just meant that he had slightly too far to travel on the offensive transitions. So he was just a bit too far away from play to really impact it. And if you look at Sadio Mane and Mo Salah, for example, for Liverpool, they are much higher. So at the point of an attacking transition, when their team regains the ball, they are in the most dangerous position possible. And I think more needs to be done at Arsenal to get him into those positions.
Well, that neatly leads me on to my last question for you, which is, it's mid-December now. January will be here soon, and theoretically Arsenal can go out and spend some money if they want. They can hold their hand as they have it right now. For you, what's the most important decision or decisions that Arteta needs to make before that transfer window?
Well, I mean, there are plenty of decisions, I think, when it comes to individuals. How can he get the best out of Willian, who is playing really well in the last 12 months? Is Alexandre Lacazette the man to play in this, like, in this number 10 role that he's been playing the last few weeks behind Aubameyang? Is Aubameyang meant to be through the best through the middle? Does he hang Xhaka out to dry like he did Nicolas Pepe? All sorts of things. But I think most important for Mikel Arteta at the moment is he needs to decide, is our results more important than his ideals when it comes to how he wants his team to play? Because if he sticks to his guns and just hopes that his team will eventually click and Aubameyang will get into the positions that he wants, where he wants him on the end of crosses into box, into the box, and Kieran Tierney's hopeful balls start working, then he'd be, if he sticks by that and it works, I'd be really, really surprised. If he goes into the next game and plays with some real pragmatism and sets his team up to counter the specific opposition, I think it's Southampton his next game, then that would really kind of fill the fans with some confidence that I don't think that he should just abandon his way of playing, because clearly there's similarities to Pep Guardiola's Man City, and clearly if he can get Arsenal playing like that, it would be brilliant for them. But I really think he needs to reconsider whether sticking to his guns is the right move at this moment in time.
Fantastic. Ali, if our listeners want to read more of your work or what you do at Coach's Voice, what's the best way to get in touch and see more of it?
Yeah, well, just go online, go on coachesvoice.com. We've got loads of good stuff, loads of interviews with managers and coaches. We've got some Unai Emery stuff that I don't know if Arsenal fans will be too interested in, but he talks about his journey to the Europa League, winning the Europa League with Sevilla 3 times. We've also got a masterclass with him. So we do these things called masterclasses, where we get coaches to sit down in front of a tactics board and explain the tactics behind a particular win. So we've got Emery on the one of his Europa League final wins with Sevilla, the one over Liverpool, in fact, Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool. We've got loads of scout reports on Arsenal players. If you just go on coachesvoice.com and put Tierney or Aubameyang or Ozil or Saka into the search bar, these will all come up. Also got some really good interviews with Tony Adams, one about his kind of like troubles with the end of his playing days, and another one about the 89 season. So they're both really, really great reads. I recommend them thoroughly, and not just because I'm really biased.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
And there we have it. A really wonderful discussion with Ali Tweedale. That's all we've got time for this week, but until next time, enjoy your football.
There's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.